Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, of the making of books, there is no end. How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Early in the morning on the day my wife and I were scheduled to leave for England, my son-in-law Brad got in touch with me to see if we were interested in attending a student outing to Hampton Court with Herbert W. Armstrong College President Stephen Fleury, his wife, his children, and the Edstone students the day after graduation. My mind raced because I knew that Shakespeare had performed plays there. I immediately said yes and wondered how we could somehow bring the experience to our KPCG listening audience. I was not able to do any pre-visit work with the Hampton Court press office, but with a little prayer and some boldness, I went to the press office on the day of our visit to request permission to do some taping there. I know you will be as pleased as I was as to what happened at Hampton Court on Monday, May 23rd.
You're listening to Just the Best Literature with Dennis Leap on 101.3 KPCG.
I'm very thrilled to tell you that I'm broadcasting today from the courtyard of Hampton Court. And for all of those of you that may not know what Hampton Court is, it's the palace that Henry VII built. And it's also the palace that Elizabeth I lived, as she had her apartments. But what's even more important, I think, for us who listen in on Just the Best Literature, there was a theater built in here, and Shakespeare probably produced most of his plays in here for Queen Elizabeth and, of course, the other royals that were here. So we're going to just walk around the palace today, and we're going to talk about Shakespeare and talk about some of the things he did. Also, I just wanted to let you know that we do have some of the students here from the campus here at Edstone Hall, and they're going to be giving you their impressions as we go through and see this incredible facility. And so we'll bring you up to date as we go along, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy listening to this broadcast.
You're listening to Just the Best Literature with Dennis Leap on 101.3 KPCG.
I'm standing here in the Great Hall of the Hampton Court, and what's really fascinating is, of course, Henry VIII wanted a son very dearly, and we just talked to one of the tour guides, and they told us that there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tapestries of the story from Abraham's life. There's the one of the sacrifice. There's the one of, the servant coming and finding Rebecca, and the tour guide just told us that the reason why these tapestries were so important is, of course, Henry VIII needed a son for succession. But what is also fascinating is here we have this incredible facility. It's this huge palace. Now, it was Henry's father, Henry VII, that built it. And, of course, he, if we just put this into context of the Shakespeare plays we're going to be talking about, his predecessor, Richard III, who was a Lancaster, lost the throne at Bosworth, at the Battle of Bosworth, and then Henry VII became king, and he took over and started the Tudor line. Of course, you can see many things in history about the War of the Roses, and you can see the White Rose and the Red Rose. But it's interesting that we just found out is that they used this palace not for a residence, but Henry VIII and Elizabeth, his daughter, used the palace to entertain. And we're in the Great Hall. And in this Great Hall, they saw the plays of Shakespeare performed. And it is quite fascinating. It's a beautiful hall. It's a huge hall. And so they would fill it with guests, ambassadors. They would fill it with dignitaries, and they would have these great meals, then also watch Shakespeare's plays. So I have with me, standing here with me, is one of our students, Sam Livingston. I just thought I'd get his impression of what he thinks of this great hall. So what do you think, Sam? What do you think of this hall?
It's a bit overwhelming as soon as you walk in. Obviously, the tapestries lining the walls are about 15 or 20 feet tall. Those are the tapestries with Abraham. And then the ceilings, just a tall cathedral ceiling, maybe 70 or 80 feet tall. And yeah, it's a bit overwhelming to take it all in, but it is pretty amazing just to see those tapestries and kind of how King Henry VIII related to Abraham in that way. But it's a pretty magnificent room. It's hard to explain it through words.
We are taking some photos, by the way, for everyone, and we will be posting them on the JBL1 or the JB Literature 1 account. So you'll be able to see photos of these. And, of course, you'll be able to see the students and everything else. But one thing about the tapestries that I can say is they are worth millions of dollars today. They are Flemish. It took a year to make one of the tapestries. And what's really interesting, they're kind of faded now. They're faded blue and faded reds. But when they were originally constructed, they would have been bright red, bright blue. And, of course, in this great hall, there's a lot of stained glass windows with very bright, bright red and bright blue colors in the windows. And so anybody coming into this great hall would have seen a massive amount of color. And there's a lot of windows and there's a lot of light. And so it would have been actually breathtaking to come in and just be exposed to all that color. Now, one other thing that's very interesting is the reason why they didn't like the Hampton Court Palace as a residence, because it was very cold, and it was very difficult to heat. And here we are standing in the great room, and in the middle of the great room, there's this big fire pit. And so they would have to have huge fires to be, if they were in here in the winter entertaining dignitaries, they'd have to have a huge fire. But if you look at the ceiling, there's openings in the ceiling that would have let the smoke out. So it's really just kind of a fascinating structure. And if ever you have the chance to get to London, I certainly recommend that you come and visit Hampton Palace. So we'll have more in a bit later.
Angels and ministers of grace, defend us. Be thou a spirit of health, or goblin damned. Bring with thee airs from heaven, or blasts from hell. Be thy intense, wicked, or charitable. Thou comest in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I'll call thee Hamlet! King! Father! Royal Dane, oh, answer me!
So I just want to let you know that we're still in the Great Hall at Hampton Court, and we were just surprised with a rendition of Shakespeare's Hamlet, which is absolutely amazing since all these programs are being put together for Hamlet. I do have Rachel Culpepper here, who is one of our students at Edstone, and she is a Shakespeare aficionado. And I just want to ask her, Rachel, tell me, what did you think when all that happened?
I was surprised that they actually picked Hamlet to perform in here. I really liked it. I didn't agree with the fact that they were kind of implying that the play was written for the king. Like, Shakespeare wrote it around his life, but I don't agree with that fact.
Don't stop like that! Stop the play! So, Master Shakespeare, do I understand from what I have seen so far that this Hamlet play of yours is about a widow who marries a man who killed her first husband?
Yes, that's an aspect of the plot.
I see. I, too, am the son of a dear father murdered. Did you not think of that?
It was very interesting just seeing how they portrayed a play in that time, because I think when we read books, we kind of don't really have an idea of how to picture it in our minds, and that's why people kind of get lost, because they don't have like the sense of how it was. And I think just having that kind of picture in our minds was fascinating. It was just really interesting.
Okay, that's very good. Now, there was some, I don't know if I agree with your view of the history, but there is some something to the fact that they did write plays for James, but I think it would be more of Macbeth, because there is some history where his father was killed. If you know Macbeth, you know there's the big murder and there's the big queen and all that. So, but it was really kind of like a comedic spoof. And what they really did to the play is they turned it around, where we have this scene coming in where the ghost comes in, and then the queen and the king come in, and then all of a sudden he turns around, and here the ghost is Shakespeare. And the king is upset by this play, and Shakespeare, there's great lines from Shakespeare, but then they actually turned it on us, and they wrote a new play where Shakespeare has to explain to the king what's going on in the play.
I am the king in the play.
And I am the queen in the play.
It's so am I.
And who are you?
I'm the player queen in the play inside the play.
Two queens in one play.
Only one of them is the real queen, Your Majesty. Queen Gertrude is the real queen. The other one is just performing a role.
Of course. What a clever paradox you have contrived, Master Shakespeare.
Aye, well, clever or not, I'm the king.
And that is really quite good. It was actually really quite educational for everyone that's here. So there was a lot of comedic parts to it. So we're just going to continue on through Hampton Court and see what else we can find. So thank you, Rachel. So here we are again, and now we're outside the Great Hall, and we're in the Great Water Garden, which is unbelievable. And but I have with me student Panay Tallis, and Panay was in my Shakespeare class last year. Now she's a big junior, actually on her way to be a big senior. So what did you think when we were in the Great Hall and they start doing Hamlet? What did you think of that?
I think we couldn't have had a better show. I think, wow, I can't believe that happened, that we were right there, and of Hamlet to be the play that we're going to see. Oh, wow, that was amazing, actually. What was interesting is that we're going to go see the play tomorrow as well, tomorrow night, which will be a nice, interesting comparison, because that's a bit more of a modern rendition tomorrow night. But
yes. Yeah, tomorrow night is, of course, we haven't made any announcements about this, and by the time you hear this, the announcements will already be made, but several of the faculty, we're going to Hamlet tomorrow night at the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford. And, of course, Panay will be one of our students going with us. And on the next day, on Wednesday, I've actually been okay to come in and interview the actors about Hamlet, which is really pretty astounding. So we got a little taste of it today. And what did you think of how they turned that play around on us today? You can explain a little bit.
Well, today, I guess, it started off with the introduction of Hamlet, with the opening scene and seeing Hamlet's ghost father. But and I actually thought they were going to start doing the majority of the play. But I guess it was about a few minutes in that King James and his wife, Queen Anne, enter into the Great Hall. And interesting enough, it seemed that they were having a rehearsal, and William Shakespeare was in fact the ghost.
No, carry on. No, do carry on with what you're doing. You see, we want to watch the rehearsal.
It was really neat to see that perspective from William Shakespeare as the director and involved in one of his plays, in a sense, and have King James even portrayed as a personality in Queen Anne, and how they would have perceived one of Shakespeare's plays. So that was interesting.
It was really fascinating. It was very historical, and it was very true to history that the royals, like James and Elizabeth I, were very interested in the plays, yeah. And they would have had influence on how they were portrayed. And so they really did a great job. I don't necessarily agree with how they portrayed King James. I think he was much more dignified than they portrayed him, but it was meant to be comedic. But the whole scene that they portrayed, that they actually gave us two or three scenes. They gave us the scene, the opening scene with the ghost.
Be thou a spirit of health, or goblin damned. Bring with thee airs from heaven, or blasts from hell.
And then they also gave us the very famous scene of the players where they're trying to catch Claudius and make him recognize that he's a murderer.
Is there no offense in it?
Oh, no, they do, but jest. Poison in jest. No offense in the world.
What do you call the play?
The Mousetrap.
So it was really quite educational, and they also talked. They'd switch back and forth in the play, then they switched back to, like, this was Shakespeare practicing. And then he said, of course, the characters are mirrors of ourselves.
The purpose of playing, both at the first and last, was and is to hold, as 'twere, the mirror up to nature.
So that was pretty astounding. So we're going to be talking about that more on the radio as we do more of these foundational programs about Shakespeare. So stay tuned in. We're going to have more on our visit to Hampton Court.
You're listening to Just the Best Literature with Dennis Leap on 101.3 KPCG.
Well, we're just about ready to leave Hampton Court. We've been here almost most of the day, and we have seen many things. But one of the most amazing things about Hampton Court are all the gardens and the landscape yards, or lawns, maybe I should say. That's even better. But I do have one of our Edstone students with me now, Justin Wainwright, and he does the landscaping for us at Edstone. And I just wanted to get his opinion on what he thinks it would take for him to be a landscaper here at Hampton Court, because it is amazing. So, Justin, what have you gathered? I asked him to gather some facts for us. So what have you gathered about the landscaping here?
Yeah, like you were saying, it would definitely take a lot of work to be a landscaper here at Hampton Court. And just going around and seeing the grounds, you could tell that it would just take hours and hours and hours for the landscape. I was talking to one of the ladies that worked in the garden area, and I just wanted to see just how much manpower it takes just to manage the garden. And she said that there's 30 to 40 different people that come in and work in the garden there, and they provide food for the kitchen, the privy kitchen. And whenever there's a lot of produce coming in, then they use it for the public as well. So yeah, there's so many people that are involved here in this area. And the amazing thing is that all this money, it comes in from people just paying their entrance fees to come in and see the Hampton Court Palace and the landscape. So that's one of the amazing things, is they're not given this money. It's just from people paying the entrance fee. So yeah, it really is amazing just walking around here, and it's given me a lot of ideas, even just thinking about projects that we can do at Edstone and how we can improve there. So yeah, it's a wonderful place.
One thing that's kind of impressive to me is that, of course, we were in the Great Hall with all the tapestries, and then we heard what you're going to hear, or maybe I should say what you probably already have heard with the beginning of the program. But the royalty was really into culture, and of course they loved Shakespeare and they loved the great art, but they also loved to have great landscape, and it really is quite artistic, and it's really quite beautiful. The roses, all the varieties of flowers we were in, and we saw the oldest vine in the world that still produces grapes, and they sell those grapes to the public that come in and visit. So really, coming to Hampton Court, you really get a view of what life was like, you know, in the 1500s and 1600s. And really, when you really think about it, we've gotten so far away from that. We have all these gadgets, but how much culture do we really have? So Justin really sees it. One other thing, unique thing that I thought was, there is a great gadget here they have on landscaping, and they have a remote control mower, a grass mower. So Justin, maybe you can tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, in the privy garden, they use this remote control mower, and the reason that they use it is because it's slanted, it's tilted too much, the landscape part of it, to where you couldn't get a regular mower on there, because if you were to take a regular mower on there, it would tear up the grass. So they had this remote control lawnmower that just rides alongside the hill there, and mows it that way to prevent damage on the grass.
So how would you like to be a grass cutter and just run a electronic control? It's like playing a video game.
Yeah, right. It would be pretty neat to do that. However, I do enjoy just riding on the lawnmower there at Edstone. But yeah, it would be pretty neat to do that every now and then, just pulling out a remote control lawnmower and having that go to town.
Yeah, over the weekend I was able to see Justin cutting lawn. He does not have a remote. He's got to do it the hard way. So, so anyway, well, thank you, Justin, for being with us.
You're listening to Just the Best Literature with Dennis Leap on 101.3 KPCG.
Wasn't that amazing? Please email me your comments on this program to jbl@pcog.org. And remember, you can follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1. Because of the success of this taping trip to England, I have decided to add a second Shakespeare play to read before the summer ends. Please purchase Shakespeare's play Richard III. We will be discussing this play in late August in honor of the anniversary of the Battle of Bosworth. Check Twitter for more announcements related to Hamlet and Richard III. And until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.